From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The national uprising unfolding in the United States for the past 2 weeks has clarified for many Americans who may have doubted the word of Black communities that police are routinely violating people's rights. Law enforcement has spiraled out of control in city after city, tear gassing people in their faces, shooting rubber bullets directly at people, hurling flashbang grenades into bodies, and savagely beating protesters with their batons. There have been incidents documented of police using the same chokehold on protesters that killed George Floyd in Minneapolis. Meanwhile, President Trump claims that it is the protesters who are, quote, terrorizing the innocent, contrary to all evidence. Legal observers with the National Lawyers Guild, wearing bright green hats, are gathering evidence at the protests and offering legal support to people whose rights are being violated. Between the police violence, the blanket curfews on cities, the declaration of an anti-fascist ideology as terrorist, the raising of a tall Black fence around the White House, etc., are we seeing a new descent into state lawlessness and authoritarianism? My guest is Kath Rogers. She's the executive director of National Lawyers Guild Los Angeles. Welcome to the program, Kath.
Thank you, Sonali. Thanks for having me.
So for those people who've been to protests for many years, the green hats of legal observers with the National Lawyers Guild are a familiar sight. But for those who might be new, tell us what the role is that the National Lawyers Guild has historically played at protests.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the National Lawyers Guild, we're the oldest human rights bar association in the country. And mass legal defense for progressive protesters is one of the quintessential things that we've done for many, many decades. Actually, that was my first experience with the National Lawyers Guild when I was 18. Back in 2003, I was mass arrested in the Iraq War protests in Chicago. And that was the first time I encountered the NLG. And they bailed all of us out of jail. They represented all of us on our criminal charges, did a mass class action lawsuit against the Chicago Police Department, and won a huge victory for freedom of assembly in Chicago for the progressive movement. And so that was my first experience with National Lawyers Guild. But lawyers from the NLG have done this for many decades, representing activists at the DNC protests in Ferguson, major uprisings all around the nation, and that's historically been our role. We believe in uplifting the voices of the activist community, and we are there on the front lines as legal observers and also as mass defense support.
So are the legal observers all lawyers, or are they just also non-lawyers that are trained in how to just observe and be witnesses?
Right. So each chapter is a little different. Each chapter of the National Lawyers Guild is autonomously run. And so you'll have to check in with your local chapter. You can go to nlg.org and check out your local chapter. And each chapter has its own rules. Most of our chapters are volunteer run. So we're a very grassroots organization. And our particular chapter in Los Angeles, we have lawyers, we have legal workers, activists, community members. Anyone can be a trained legal observer. You do have to go through our legal observer training, and we have protocols that we follow. We believe that the legal community should be on tap, not on top. So we work at the direction of the activists and the organizers with whom we work. So you'll never see us out in the field unless we've been invited. So we have close relationships with community groups and progressive organizations throughout the country. Here in LA, we have some really close working relationships that have been developed over decades. And people call us when they think that they need us. And our role is essentially two things. We're there to deter law enforcement violations of civil rights and law enforcement harassment. And we're also there to document, because we can't always stop police from violating people's rights, but we can be there on the scene to take notes, document, get that officer's name, get the witness information. And then all of that information is useful later on, whether it's in a criminal proceeding. Often when activists are brutalized, the first thing law enforcement will do is press charges against the activist, because that's a way of deflecting blame. So sometimes our notes can come in handy in defense of criminal prosecutions of progressive activists. The other thing,
how do you stop? Just to interrupt you for a second, how does a legal observer stop an officer from violating someone's rights? You know, is it just that the presence is a deterrent effect, or do you actually physically try to stop them? Because I imagine that you would get caught up in the violence, and several NLG legal observers have been beaten, as have protesters.
Yeah, absolutely. So our role is not, just to clarify, our role is not to directly intervene. We are essentially eyes and ears. The reason I say that sometimes we are able to deter officer violations of civil rights and police brutality is because often when police know that civil rights lawyers and a civil rights legal organization is watching, that can in turn change their behavior. So that's what I mean by deterrence, is our presence there. Everybody knows what that neon green hat means. It says National Lawyers Guild. Certainly law enforcement agencies in our region are aware of what that means. They know that when National Lawyers Guild legal observers are there, we are watching. Mm-hmm. And that has a huge deterrent effect.
So how have you viewed the police response to protests against police violence? The video documentation, the photographs, the witness accounts of just absolute savagery are breathtaking. I mean, I've been a journalist a long time, and I've seen with my own eyes, and I've also read and viewed on video just terrible police responses to protests. But what we have seen over the past couple of weeks seems on an entirely different level. Does it seem like that way to you as well?
Absolutely, yes. So the National Lawyers Guild, as I said, we are out on the front lines at a lot of protests. Our lawyers in Los Angeles have sued the police department here a number of times, and we've actually witnessed some of the effects of those lawsuits, because when you sue for police brutality, you know, hopefully that should have a deterrent effect. And we've seen that to be the case in recent years, that multiple kind of civil rights lawsuits have changed some of the police tactics regarding protests here in LA. So we were at about 150 progressive protests last year, and I don't think any of our officers, or sorry, our legal observers saw officers use force. I mean, you know, we were there watching, and so no, I've never seen anything like this in terms of, you know, the tear gas that's flying, the rubber bullets, the massive periods of detention. That's another issue we're tracking, is that, you know, people are being arrested. And then even though we have a $0 bail schedule, so people are getting out without bail, they're getting out on their own recognizance, you know, you would think that that might take, you know, a little time for booking, but people are being held in detention for between 2 to 7 hours without access to bathrooms. A lot of people who've come to us have said that they're, you know, urinating, defecating on themselves because there's no access to bathrooms. People are pleading with you know, police while they're in these buses with handcuffs on that are tight. You know, people's hands are going numb with these flex cuffs. So the detention is another issue. In addition to the use of force that we're looking at, is the actual periods of detention that we're seeing that are really problematic.
In New York City, we're hearing that a judge has just ruled that it is okay for police to hold activists that have been arrested for more than 24 hours without charges, which is in violation of the Constitution, right? I mean, this is the basic sort of habeas corpus issues are being violated here.
Yeah, I mean, in general, so, you know, there's detention, which is, if, you know, kind of the period between you're not free to leave and you're also not under arrest. And that period should be, you know, relatively short, and in order to detain someone, there needs to be reasonable suspicion of a crime. Detention can lead to arrest, but long periods of detention, you know, 24 hours is, you know, that's completely unreasonable. And we're seeing detentions, you know, before arrest that have some pretty problematic aspects of, you know, just the kind of the brutal use of, you know, flex cuffs and you know, so it's definitely something we're looking at here as well.
There are, of course, also curfews that have been declared in Southern California and LA County. Very early curfews starting at 6 p.m. in other parts of the country. Different hours in New York, it's been, you know, between 8 and 11 p.m. But cities around the country are imposing curfew. Interestingly enough, when the anti-lockdown protests led by white conservatives, many of them armed, took place because some people were upset they couldn't get a haircut, you know, a few weeks ago. We didn't see efforts to enforce the lockdown. What do you make of these curfews? The ACLU is legally challenging them in many cities as being unconstitutional. They seem to be a simple way to prevent people from exercising their First Amendment rights. I'm in Pasadena. As far as I know, there have been no breaking of windows, no property destruction. And yet our city is closed from 6 p.m. onwards, or has been on certain days. What's the justification for that?
Right. So yeah, we've seen curfews here in Los Angeles. Actually, the curfew was lifted on Thursday. So we stopped having the curfew, but our curfew was as early as 6 p.m. as well. And locally, our local ACLU of Southern California just filed a lawsuit. Subsequently, pretty quickly, our curfew, at least at the city and I believe at the county level, were also lifted pretty quickly thereafter with the lawsuit. The lawsuit was seeking injunctive relief, and I believe they're seeking damages as well. So interesting timing there for sure, and glad to see a legal challenge there. And I wouldn't be surprised if there are other legal challenges, both by our attorneys and other attorneys regarding the use of force issues, detention issues, other civil rights issues as we move forward.
Are there lawsuits that the National Lawyers Guild is involved with against the beatings and the police violence that have taken place over the last couple of weeks? I mean, I imagine that you would be able to tell us specifically about Los Angeles. We know in Washington, D.C., the D.C. chapter of Black Lives Matter has filed a lawsuit against President Trump and D.C. Police authorities for the Monday incident where nonviolent peaceful protesters were violently tear gassed so that Lafayette Square could be cleared for Trump's church front photo op. In Los Angeles, I know that there have been mass arrests. In fact, I believe out of the 10,000 or so arrests nationwide, 3,000 of them, a third, were in LA. Do you know of any lawsuits?
Well, at this moment, there's not one that I can speak about, but check back in with our chapter. Our website is nlg-la.org. We have received at this point 575 people who've reached out to us for legal help. We're organizing mass protester legal defense. And out of the information and data that we've collected, our civil rights lawyers are certainly looking at it, and any kind of injunctive lawsuit would have to be filed pretty quickly. So stay tuned with our chapter. Nothing I can speak to just yet, as we're filming right now, but check in with us shortly.
People who've been the victim of police brutality or arrest that they felt was unconstitutional or unlawful, I imagine unlawful, can contact the National Lawyers Guild here in LA, or if they have local chapters in their own cities?
Yes, definitely reach out. If you're in another city other than Los Angeles, reach out through nlg.org. That's the national website. You can look up your local chapter and get involved there. If you're local to LA, go to nlg-la.org and you can figure out ways to get involved. We have a number of ways to volunteer with us. And also, if you do witness police brutality or civil rights violations, and importantly, if you're arrested and you need legal support, there's a form to fill out on our website. And we would really encourage anyone who's been arrested to please fill out that form. And that will get you involved with our mass criminal defense support.
Now, I know you mentioned earlier that your organization trains legal observers, but do you also offer general advice to protesters, especially, you know, the young folks who, for whom this might be their first protest? They may not know what their rights are.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, the Guild gives a lot of Know Your Rights trainings. We do them frequently. Our chapter has one on Tuesday of next week. And we are always updating our website with more trainings. And we're going to get more of these Know Your Rights trainings coming online. Let's just do one quick Know Your Rights right now. Fifth Amendment, you never have to answer police questions. So, you know, if a police officer comes up to you and says, you know, where do you work? Hey, have you been arrested before? What's your friend doing over there? You can say it however you want. I don't choose to answer police questions. I respectfully, you know, would rather not answer that. If you're being detained or arrested, giving your ID is the only thing, that can help make booking go faster, that has your name and it's required for booking. Beyond that, no police questions. You're never obligated to answer police questions and it never helps you.
So people can register for the training. I imagine that it's a web training, given the fact that it's hard to actually gather or assemble in person these days, a web training on Tuesday, June 9th at 12 noon Pacific. This is for the Los Angeles chapter, but I imagine that other NLG chapters are holding similar trainings and hopefully people can find them in their own city as well. And then for those who want to be legal observers, you have training for that as well, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a couple of legal observer trainings on Monday and Thursday of next week. And, anyone can join and become a legal observer if you go through the training process. And, we have a number of other ways you can volunteer if you want to get involved in jail support. We have volunteers staffing our local jails to give people rides home if they need it, bring snacks and food to kind of welcome people when they get out of jail. We're also having volunteers staff the jails to do intakes so that we can help people out with their mass criminal representation as well. So you can find out about all of that on our website at nlg-la.org.
Finally, Kath, just broadly speaking, given where the federal government is going, how deeply do you worry about Trump claiming that he wants to declare Antifa a terrorist organization? Of course, it's not an organization. It's simply an ideology. I mean, this feels to me that the government is declaring itself fascist by saying that anti-fascism is terrorist. William Barr, the attorney general, has made very clear, even though he's the attorney general of the United States, he's made very clear that he is the personal lawyer for President Trump. I imagine that as a lawyer, this must deeply concern you.
It's deeply concerning on so many different levels. When you say that there's been, kind of talking about Antifa and other things, we've had some kind of alt-right people criticizing our organization, the National Lawyers Guild, and calling us the legal arm of Antifa. The pro-Trump crowd has been very critical of us. We've gotten some, calls, prank calls and things like that. And, all I can say is if we are, if we're on the bad side of the Trumpers, I think we're doing something right. So, we're okay with that.
Perhaps everybody should declare ourselves Antifa, because why would anybody not be against fascism? I want to thank you so much, Kath, for joining us today. That website, again, for the Los Angeles chapter, nlg-la.org. And to find your local chapter, if you're outside LA, is nlg.org. Kath, thanks so much. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Sonali. Thanks so much for having us, and thanks for all your important work.
Kath Rogers is the Executive Director of National Lawyers Guild of Los Angeles. We've been discussing the many violations of people's rights during the current uprising and what people can do, how they can find out about their own rights, and also the legal observers that NLG deploys to protests. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.